He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on him. He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is my peace. He is my peace.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the presence of Jehovah, God Prince of Peace. God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
I just want to take a minute. There is just such a powerful presence of the Lord here today. And when I was getting ready for church this morning, I was putting on my shoes, and I've put on the same church shoes every week for months. But I happened to look down, and inside the sole of my shoe, it said these two words, or three words: expect a miracle. And I think that we need to get back to that place. When we come into the house of the Lord, we come expecting a miracle. And I feel like that's what's here today. Miracle healing power. To touch whatever it is that's going on in your life today, in your body. We need to come into His presence expecting a miracle. It doesn't matter how long you've prayed for something. If that situation hasn't changed, you expect a miracle today. You keep expecting and you keep standing. But I believe today is the day that we're going to see things change. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for that word for our church this morning. Expect a miracle. It doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter what we hear. It doesn't matter what we even feel. We come expecting a miracle today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I know that you have put people on my heart this morning to pray for. And I just thank you, Father, that as we begin to pray for people this morning, that there's going to be a mighty, powerful move of God that's going to take place in each one of their lives. It's not going to be months and years. We're going to start seeing suddenlies. The people we've been praying for their hearts and their minds and their lives to change, they're going to suddenly turn around and cry out to the Lord. We just praise you and we thank you, Father, for those miracles today. I praise you in advance, Father, even before we pray. I praise you for those miracles today. Thank you, Jesus.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank God this morning for His presence in this place, in your life, in your body. Oh God, we praise you and we thank you that you're so good to us. In Jesus' mighty name. And I say these couple scriptures over you for healing today. Psalm 91:10 declares, no evil shall befall you. Somebody say, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. Isaiah 55, say this, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Just receive your healing this morning and praise God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, today. In Jesus' name. And while we're talking about this, we declare this church to be a place of healing. Amen. We are believers in miracles, and we're believers in the Word of God. Amen. So no matter what the circumstances say, and let me say this too, this will never, somebody say never, never be a place where we want to see your vaccination card. If you get a vaccination for COVID or whatever, hallelujah. If God led you to do that, you had to do that, whatever. But we're not going to say you can't come to this church unless you get, no, 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 no. Somebody say, it's the blood of Jesus, man. Amen. Hallelujah, right? So just say, thank you, Jesus, for being our healer. In Jesus' name. Say, I lay hands on the sick, and they recover. In Jesus' name. You may be seated this morning. God is so good. He's so faithful. Welcome to church this morning. Thank you, hon. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you for the beautiful worship this morning. Praise God forevermore. I'll turn it over to Pastor Shelley as we worship God with our tithes and offerings. Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. I just felt like after last week, the Lord said, we're not done with the truth about tithing. So we're not just going to teach our children. We're going to know the truth about tithing ourselves. Amen? God is such a good God. Wow. His presence is so powerful today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just keep hearing that. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. I don't want you to go out of here and look for things to be wrong. I want you to go out of here expecting a miracle, expecting to get phone calls from people, expecting to get texts from people, things to change in ways we haven't seen them change before. I believe that God has done something today that is just going to keep going forward. Amen? Whew. Powerful. Powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Is it too cold? Okay. We're looking at Malachi and chapter 3 and verse 11. It starts in verse 10, so I'll read verse 10, and actually I'll back it up. In verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Number verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for your field, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And I just recently had preached on the bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, and that the floodgates of heaven would be open and pour out a blessing we can't contain. So I didn't feel like you need to hear it again, although there's the verse. So just remember that when you give your tithes and offerings, it opens up the floodgates of heaven and pours out a blessing we can't contain. Amen? But the next part says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Now, in our day and age, most of us don't make our living from the fruit of our ground, right? We're not farmers. We're not out harvesting. So this applies to whatever is your income. Everybody say income. So this says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy your income. That's another way we can do that for us today. It will not destroy your income. Somebody say amen. So a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, God just wants to get your money. That's all they ask for in churches. They just want your money. They just keep asking for your money. But I'm here to tell you the truth about tithing today. And the truth is God is not just trying to get your money. He's trying to get money to you, right? He wants there to be open windows and open floodgates so they can pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Amen? But another part of the truth is the Lord will protect your income. I don't know how exciting that is for you, but as pastors, we get to know and we get to hear about everybody's lives. So I can tell you from March of last year, when COVID first struck, until March of this year, we only had one person, well, two people who lost their jobs because of COVID. But both those people experienced financial blessings and one found another job. Somebody say amen. That's powerful. We heard of hundreds of people that lost jobs, that lost their income. But when you are a tither, what does the Lord says he does? He protects your income. He rebukes a devourer. And one of those people who still hasn't gotten a job, and that's Liz, but she doesn't have to be in a hurry because the floodgates got opened in her life, amen, and poured out a blessing that she's still trying to contain. Somebody say hallelujah. So when God does a work, when he says something, he does what he says. That is miraculous. So as a church, we didn't struggle to survive. We have thrived just like you have because the Lord has protected the church's income. Somebody say hallelujah. So this is a benefit when you tithe. The Lord protects your income. So why is this important to know? Because if you don't know the truth, it can't set you free. So when the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy and attack your income, oh no. You pull out your word and you tell him, in case he's forgotten, I'm a tither. And Malachi tells me, you are rebuked in the name of Jesus for touching my income because I am a tither. This word does not change. This word is truth. So everything else has to line up to this word. But if you don't know the truth, then you're not going to know what to pray for or what to believe for. Amen? So that's why we're going over this, is sometimes the fundamentals need to be refreshed in our mind. And like I shared last week, I know there's a large trend of people say, well, tithing is in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, Part of the reason why tithing is not even hardly mentioned in the New Testament is he was talking to Jewish people. They didn't have to be reminded to pay their tithes because it was something that they did automatically. What does Jesus say? He was in the temple, and what were they doing? Bringing in their offerings. He was telling us about what they were doing because it wouldn't have even struck them to say, people don't tithe? What? That would almost be like ridiculous. Right? And so we shouldn't have to find excuses. That's what I call them. They're just modern day excuses for reasons not to tithe. But again, just like I know that God can heal someone of a brain tumor, I know the power of tithing. Amen? You can't convince me it doesn't work. I've seen it. Too late. I already know. Amen? And I'm here to testify to you today. The truth is that he will protect your income. Joni and Steve both had their jobs in jeopardy. Both were given a timeline that was longer than they even had to do. They were both back at their jobs before the time limit. God protects your income. Amen? And even if you maybe lose a job or somehow your job lays you off, what you need to know that God has something better and greater for you, and it will be much more of a blessing for you. Amen? So if that happens, don't worry about the past. You press on and say, God, I know something at that job was probably going to devour me. Something at that job would have plagued me. And so I thank you for setting me free and sending me to the next job, because I know my income will not be affected. Because you promised, as long as I am a tither, my income will be protected. Amen? So once we know the truth, what does it say in the New Testament? That truth will set you free. Hallelujah. When we know the truth, and it's not just for us. This truth is something we can share with others. I remember when I met my best friend, Christine, and I was telling her, we were talking about something, and we were talking about tithing. And she's like, I don't know about that. And we always had these long theological debates. And I just told her, listen, just try it, okay? Just try it and see what happens. She was hilarious. So like after the first couple weeks, she came back and we were at college, and she's like, okay, you were right. She's like, it does work. It's pretty incredible. She's like, I just thought, okay, well, I'm gonna test him with $10. I'll just give him 10 and we'll see what happens. She's like, within a week, I had $100 back. She's like, I was doing the math, Shelley, and it works. And I'm like, yes, it does. And a lot of times you'll be a tither and you'll give and you'll give and you'll give and you'll think, I'm not seeing the reaping of the harvest. But how many people know sometimes God stores up the harvest for exactly at the right moment you need it? Amen? And he comes in. My parents with my sister's bill is a great example. $250,000. Wiped out. Paid for. Done. Gone. Because the Lord promised to rebuke the devourer. When unexpected bills or payments or things come against your income, you pull out your word and say, Father, I thank you the devourer is rebuked and that this bill is paid for and you're providing for it in Jesus' name. But if you don't know, then you won't know that you have the authority and the right as a tither to stand on the promise of God and see it come to pass. Amen? So today, if anything from this point forward starts to come against your income, I want to hear about you going and getting your Bible. Get it open. Sometimes the devil just needs you to read it right out of the word to him. But if you're someplace and you can't read it, then find it on your phone, or here'd be a great one. Memorize it. Memorize it. So it's one of those instant swords that you can pull out, right? Not taking that, not having that. Nope. Not in my household. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. This is my blessing. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, I thank you for the truth of tithing that we're going to begin learning here. I thank you, Father, for the heavens that are opened up and the floodgates that pour out. But Father, I thank you also, you care about the day-to-day. You care about our incomes. You care about the things that ways that money comes to us. And I just thank you, Father, right now that every tither in this room, I speak over their lives and over their incomes, and I say if anything is holding back what God has meant to be in their hands, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off their finances, devourer. You are rebuked. And we just praise you and we thank you, Father, that you are moving and working in people's incomes like never before. We are going to begin seeing amazing miracles, Father, that we can begin testifying to people. We can begin sharing and spreading the news that tithing works. And we praise you, Father, for your faithfulness. We praise you and we worship you, God, that you are faithful to your word and faithful to your people. We just pray right now, Father, that you would bless every gift that is given. Bless the sower a hundredfold harvest in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Now, while the boys are coming to take their tithes and offering, I just wanted to really quick again remind you that June 6th is our missions pledge day. That's when we make pledges to what we're going to give for the next year for missions. I can already tell you that this past year we already exceeded our pledges. Hallelujah. I was able to send out bonus checks this week to our missionaries, and we're not even to June. So I'm sure there's, yes, thank you, Richard. Yes, that is amazing. We got to bless them. They were so excited. The Mishlers are coming home for a month to sell their house here because they're going to buy property to build a community center in Mexico where they're at to be able to kind of do 24/7 work. I mean, it's amazing what God is doing. Amazing what has been going on in Romania. I asked her for an update, and she sent me almost a book. God is doing so much, even despite COVID. God is moving and working, and a lot of these people that we've given to in the past few years with goats, and how many people have done that? The goats and the cows and the chickens and the farm stuff. You should see their livestock and their gardens. I mean, It's amazing. So our seed is still going and going and going. It's just amazing what God is doing. And that's the awesome thing, is when we connect with people across the world that love Jesus and are accountable and are doing the work, our seed goes in them, and then they go out, and our seed just continues and continues and continues. It's an exciting thing. Missions is probably one of my heart passions. I love missions because I feel like we can't go, but we can sure bless those who went. Amen? And make sure that their lives are touched. And so I'm just super excited about it. And again, we don't come up here and give you a big sob story about missions. No, we just want to be truthful and share, you know. And you pray and ask the Lord what to give. And then for the next year, you'll have opportunity to be able to give. And a lot of times what happens is people just end up giving more than they thought, because the money just keeps coming in. It's amazing how God works with that. So anyway, just be praying and let God move and work on your heart for what your pledge is, and we'll do that on June 6th. Oh, all right, stretch your hands and let's just agree. Father, we just thank you for touching this tithes and offering today. Father, we just call in a hundredfold harvest, Lord, on every seed that is sown. And Father, I thank you even this week, Lord, for supernatural miracles in people's finances, Lord, for blessings to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Angels, go forth, bring that in, and drop it into their laps. Father, I'm believing for people to have the amount of pledge in their mind, and that amount is going to show up in their accounts. Even before we get to that Sunday, they're going to be able to come in shouting, going, guess what? Here's my pledge already, because you're going to begin doing some mighty powerful works in people's finances. And we praise you, Father. We are expecting miracles, even in our finances, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for all these things. And we call it done in Jesus' name. Everyone who gave a shout, amen. Amen. Woo!
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give God one more big shout. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Praise God. I think we can release the children. Amen. God bless you, kids. Have a wonderful class with Pastor Shelley this morning. My wife is amazing. She does multiple things very well. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. Well, let's pray over this message today. Thank you, Father, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Just like that scripture in Ephesians says, opening the eyes of our understanding, Lord God. We receive your Holy Ghost. We receive your wisdom and knowledge. We receive your breakthroughs. We receive insights, like Brother Oral Roberts would say, ideas, concepts, and insights, Lord God. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue for at least a couple more weeks the Fighting the Good Fight of Faith series. I mean, like anything, we could just go and go and go and go and go and go with this, right? I know the Lord has given me three specific more areas to look at, and then we'll see if he wants to continue after that. Amen. If you didn't know, I work for him. Amen. But 1 Timothy 6:12 is our foundation text for this message. And it says this: fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession. Somebody say good confession. Right? In the presence of many witnesses. Did you know we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses? Amen? Does anybody know anyone in the cloud right now? I mean, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, cousins, right? And of course, Bible heroes. There's U.S. presidents in the cloud. Some, probably most of them. Hopefully all of them. Mercy, let's not ponder that right now. But praise God, right? All kinds of folks in the cloud, angels and Bible heroes, right? And they're cheering us on. And we can't see them, but they can see what's, I don't know how much God allows people in heaven to see what's going on planet Earth, but they know, they're aware that we're still here, and there's intercession going on, And there's a crowd of people cheering us on to fight the good fight of faith, just like they did, right? And many of them in heaven fought the good fight to, you know, all the way fulfilled their mission on planet Earth and just went right on to glory. Many didn't. Many are in heaven right now that didn't fulfill everything they were supposed to fulfill, but they're in heaven, and they're cheering us on, and they're there now, so hallelujah. But somebody say, I'm going to fight my fight of faith. I'm fighting the good fight of faith in my own life. And it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing or not doing, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. It doesn't matter to me if 25,000 people didn't get up with, let's go to church this morning. I'm here. Amen. Right? And we know in God's word what God can do with just a few who would believe. Right? So many great testimonies and miracles in God's word from, you know, just God using a handful of people to change a city. Amen? Or God saving a city for the sake of just a handful of people, right? Remember the story of Abraham and Lot? And Abraham would say, well, what if there was 25 righteous? Okay, well, before you go, what if there were, say, 15 righteous? And he kind of got them all the way down. Well, okay, if there's, you know, you understand, right? And Jesus, and this is the post-resurrection age, right? On the other side of the cross, Jesus bore the judgment of God on his body, and you know, and now there is eternal life available for all people who would believe. Amen? And so we're called to lay hold on eternal life. Not that we're earning it. Jesus already paid for it with his own blood, right? So fighting the good fight just means we stay in Jesus. Somebody say, stay in Jesus. Understanding that he did the work. He finished the work. Hallelujah. And I remember the scripture that says, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame of the cross. And guess what? You are the joy that was set before him. Amen? And so many others that would put our faith in Jesus. But the word fight means words like a place of assembly as if led, a contest held there, an effort, conflict, contention, race, a struggle, agony. This past week I went to my son's track meet, and it just I don't remember being to too many track meets in my lifetime. But man, there's a lot of parallels there to the God's word. People in their own lane, and they're racing, and they're not watching anybody else, but they're keeping their eye on their own lane, and there's relays, and they're passing a baton, and amen? These people that wrote this, that God used, passed the baton onto the next generation. And then the next generation passed the baton to the next generation. And that's, guess what we're doing? Now the baton is in our hands. Glory to God. Amen? It's exciting, right? So we stay focused on Jesus. Jesus is our victory. Glory to God forevermore, right? And the word faith means conviction of the truthfulness of God. That's a big, 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 big definition for 2021 and beyond, right? Faith means conviction of the truthfulness of God, because there's a lot of lies out there. I drove by a church the other day in Portland, and it said something about, you know, spirituality. Come explore spirituality here. And my head instantly went to, well, there's a lot of spirits in the world, right? Went to another one, and they had incorporated the rainbow into their logo, not the Noah's Ark rainbow, right? Now, God loves people of all walks of life and everything, but not everybody is saved. Somebody said there's only one way to be saved, right? And that doesn't mean embracing our favorite sin, right? No, it's repenting of sin, finding out what the book says sin is, and just not doing that stuff, right? Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with the truth. Hallelujah. So conviction of the truthfulness of God. If I'm convicted to the truthfulness of God, it means it's going to affect my lifestyle, right? It's going to affect how I think, how I talk, how I act, where I'm at on Sunday morning at 11:30. Right? Amen? So why? Because we are convicted of the truthfulness of God. Shelley was talking about kind of the heart behind tithes and offerings and how people will get into, well, yeah, that's Old Testament. Well, Adam, now that's about as far back as you can go. And that was before the law. But God set a tree aside in the Garden of Eden and said, this one's mine. Amen? And it's never changed, right? God has always had a portion that belongs to him. So it's really about, Lord, I love you and I worship you and I'm bringing my giving and my tithes and my offerings to get the gospel preached and so we can have a church and make room for more people to come in and hear the good news, right? So it's just, it's about loving God, being convicted of the truthfulness of God. Hallelujah. Not of gods, multiple gods, whoever he is to you or she is to you. These are lies, aren't they? Right? Somebody say one God. Well, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise his name forevermore. Faith also means another good definition is reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy in such profession, and believe. Somebody say, I'm a believer. I was on the Eagle Mountains chat this morning. I always like plugging into Eagle Mountain early Sunday morning because they're Texas time, and I've always felt a connection there since we began the church to just somewhere for me to plug in. And they were showing an Andrew Womack message and teaching their Bible college and stuff. It was a great message about being generous and giving and not being stuff-minded, being God-minded, and don't love your stuff. It was just a great message. Well, this one gal on the chat, bless her heart, she got hung up on one thing that he said that she didn't like. And so she spent the rest of the time just commenting on, you know, and you just want to say, hey, listen, sister, right? You missed the past 40 minutes of what God is trying to say to you because you got hung up on this one little thing, right? Amen? So we need to be constant in our faith. Trusting God, you know, a good word for faith is trust. If we question everything, right? Now, I would not say we just blindly accept everything we ever hear, but find it in the Word. But if there's not, that faith means there's going to be a level of trust in us. If that's the man or woman that God has put up there, and I'm here to receive, I'm not here to question everything that they say and argue about it. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the statements she said was something like, this is why so many people are non-believers, because the preacher isn't telling the whole truth. So you just want to say, you know, the difference between a believer and a non-believer? Choice. Somebody say, I choose to believe God. And I choose to believe his man or woman that's preaching the word. Of course, we check it with the word, but man, don't waste time arguing about stuff. Just believe God. Amen. It makes life so much nicer just to walk around in a place of faith, in a place of, Lord, I trust you. Amen. But we've been talking about some would-be challengers in this fight of faith. Right? We got the boxing ring up here, right? Amen. And we remember that we're not fighting against people. Amen. We're not fighting against politicians or Hollywood or people in our family or other churches. No, no. The fight is with the devil. And the cool thing is, the fight has already been won by our big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So my job is to simply stand, right? Or in the word, it says, occupy until he comes. Don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. I haven't told this story in a long time, but I feel impressed to share it now. About my friend Johnny. Back in the fourth grade, I was at recess, and my fourth grade teacher, fourth grade was kind of an interesting year because we had just moved out of the city, out in the country. I got out of school early that year. That was really cool. Finished the third grade early, man. Moved out to the country. Then when I moved out to the country, I found out school was year-round that year. I was like, what is that? Year-round? Yeah. You go to school 9 weeks, and then you have 3 weeks off. And then you go to school 9 weeks all year long. 3 weeks off. So the 3 weeks off was cool, right? But then 9 weeks, And the first day of school that year was on my birthday, July 16th, in a new school. Amen? It was weird, man. It was like, this is not right. It's hot, it's summertime, it's my birthday. But praise God. But I had a cool teacher. But one of the things that our teacher had us do was he created this contest where the kid would, there would be two, you'd pair up with somebody, and I paired up with Johnny, right? We became really good friends, but man, this wasn't right. And he said, Steve, you have 10 minutes to make, I don't remember what it was, like 200 baskets. And I'm standing right by the basketball hoop. And Johnny's job is to count. And there was this cool prize. It was a King Kong poster, man. I mean, it was so cool, this huge King Kong poster. Steve, if you make this number of baskets in 10 minutes, Johnny's counting, you get the poster. If you don't, Johnny gets it. So I'm counting too, right? I don't know if I trust Johnny's counting, right? But Johnny was a little bit smarter than me. A lot of people are. But Johnny started saying, Steve, you look tired. Slow down. You got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. Take a break. And I did. And guess who got my poster? Johnny got the poster. I don't think Johnny even cared much about the poster. He just cared about getting what I wanted. Don't let the devil trick you like that. Amen? Oh, healing ain't for everybody. Healing's just for holy people. Healing is just for people that God, you know, divinely chooses in his infinite wisdom. Prosperity money is an awful, terrible, awful thing. No, somebody's saying, look at the word. Find out what the word says and stick with it. And don't let the devil talk you out of it. What is that called? Fighting the good fight of faith. Somebody say amen, right? But I want to look at faith's would-be challenger today of ignorance. And specifically, we're talking about ignorance of the Word of God. Because there's a lot of that out there, man. People that are Christians don't think they need to be in church. Don't think they need to, you know, Shelley was talking about the Old Testament, you know, about, well, tithing is the Old Testament. Well, God also said don't commit adultery in the Old Testament. You think that still applies? Somebody say yes. Right? Amen. So many ignorant Christians out there that think Jesus isn't just the only way. Christian people I'm talking about. Amen? So faith's would-be challenger of ignorance, somebody say, is going down. I believe this is going to be a pivotal message. Right? It's good to speak these words, right? But the word ignorant, I'm talking about dictionary definition here. Lacking in knowledge, right? Unlearned as to a particular subject. That reminds me that a lot of Christians can be learned in what the Bible says about getting saved, but they're totally ignorant in terms of God's healing power. Or the power of God's prosperity, right? Or holiness, or whatever. Amen? Lacking in knowledge, unlearned as to a particular subject, uninformed. Man, that comes back to the church. Pastors, not teaching the Word of God. A lot of people are in church today, but they're not using this. Right? They're using some program or philosophy or something that's completely non-offensive. Somebody say, yikes, man. I do not want to be that pastor that when the rapture happens and we're all up in heaven and Jesus says, Steve, welcome to heaven. Where's those people that were in the church that you were pastoring? Where are they at? Somebody say, no. Somebody say, tell the truth, pastor. Tell the truth. Amen. Uninformed, unaware. Ignorance, uninformed, or unaware. Man, in the United States of America, everybody has a right to have multiple Bibles. I mean, the Holy Bible, right? But we have the right and the responsibility to know God's Word, to study God's Word, read God's Word, understand God's Word. There's some, you know, sects of Christianity that teach you, don't read the Bible, you'll go nuts, you'll go crazy. Well, no, the Holy Ghost will help you. Church will help you. Other believers will help us, right? Amen? The Word of God helps us itself, doesn't it, right? Amen? But Hosea 4:6 says this, my people. Now see, God isn't talking about the world here, is he? He's not talking about the unsaved. We need to lower our expectations of the unsaved. Because sinners are going to do what? Sin. But the church ought to be different. Somebody say the church ought to be different. Amen? He says, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge, for ignorance. I love Pastor Huck back in the day. He would say, you know, if a guy falls off the cliff or if he jumps off intentionally, the results will be the same. Amen. Right? So somebody say, I'm not going to be that guy, that woman, that man. Right? So how do we destroy this ignorant spirit thing? Somebody say, know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. I believe we could all agree that the first thing, the most important thing to know is how to get saved, right? How to be born again, how to get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, man. Because this life is just so quick, and it's gone. And now you're in eternity in one of two places. And the only way to the good place is faith in the name of Jesus Christ and his finished work. Glory to God. Praise God. But guess what? Once you're born again, there's more to learn. There's more to know. There's more to be aware of in God's word. Because God doesn't want us going through hell on earth. He wants his blessing, his blessing, his blessing, right? Well, I've heard ministers say things like, well, God in the Old Testament was the God of prosperity and wealth and all the blessing, but in the New Testament, poverty. And do you understand why that was? Because the people rejected him. And so by the time Jesus came on the scene, yeah, they were in bondage to Rome and just awful stuff. But that was never God's intention or purpose or plan. Jesus came to change that, to break that power. Amen? And get the blessing of God back on God's people. That's what makes the church different. I drove by a church a few weeks ago on the west side of town, and I thought, man, that's a great location, right by a big mall. And I thought, I'm going to go over there. It looked like there's a sign in the window. It must be for sale. And I mean, moss on the roof and trees hanging over it and just look terrible. I mean, poverty, impoverished in this beautiful, expensive part of town. So I thought, man, why not? Let's go see. Maybe it should be Redeemed Church Beaverton. You know, you don't know. You just keep your eyes open. I love it here, by the way. I drove over there and it didn't say for sale. It said, church, 10 o'clock every Sunday. You think, where's the blessing of God on this place? Church ought to be appealing. Amen? Someone's going to choose the mall or the church, right? Somebody say, make church look good, man. Church ought to be appealing. God's people ought to be appealing to the now offensive in terms of maybe our values to some. But the blessing of God ought to just be a beacon of light. Amen? Drawing people in to be saved, because there's more room. This isn't Noah's Ark, us four no more. There's more room in heaven, right? Well, John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, right? So Jesus is about life. Satan is about death. Hallelujah. But I want to spend the next few weeks today, I want to look at the steal word, because Satan has come to steal. What has he come to steal? Somebody say, the word. If he steals the word, then we have nothing to stand on, right? And then next week, I want to look at, if he comes to steal the word, then he can kill the family, right? And if he can kill the family, he can destroy the nation, right? So there's his strategy. Steal the word so he can kill the family and destroy the nation. But we're going to fight the good fight of faith and see what God's word has to say about this and hold to that. Amen? So, 2 Kings 22, I want to read that in the Living Bible. This is a great, great word, a great example of a king. King Josiah, 8-year-old king, had a good mama. His mama helped him to hold the baton, even though he didn't really know what he was holding on to. But it says this, new king of Judah, Josiah, his age at the beginning of his reign, 8 years old, duration of his reign, 31 years in Jerusalem. He was actually a war hero, died in battle, passionate about God and God's people and Israel, right? Name of his mother, Jedidiah, daughter of Abiah and Bozkath. Character of his reign, good, for he followed in the steps of his ancestor, King David, obeying the Lord completely. And you'll see as you go through kings, there'll be good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad, bad, good king. So Josiah was a good king. Somebody say good king, right? In the 11th year of his reign, so now he's like 28, 29 years old, King Josiah sent his secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, to the temple to give instruction to Hilkiah, the high priest. He said, collect the money given to the priests at the door of the temple when the people come to worship. So see, people are still coming to the temple, right? Give this money to the, but by the way, the temple was full of idols. There was all kinds of Baal worship. And I mean, man, well, let's not limit God to God, right? Things had changed, right? Give this money to the building superintendents so that they can hire carpenters and masons to repair the temple and buy lumber and stone. See, Josiah's heart was turning toward the temple, turning toward God. You know what? The temple's in bad shape. Let's fix it. Let's repair it. Let's clean it up. See, his heart was into cleaning it up. Somebody say, clean it up. Right? The building superintendents were not required to keep account of their expenditures, for they were honest men. One day, Hilkiah the high priest went to Shaphan the secretary and exclaimed, this is awesome, I have discovered a scroll in the temple with God's laws written in it. So here's a bunch of people going to church every week without any written instructions, without any knowledge of God. And this guy, they're cleaning it up. They're cleaning the temple. And he says, what's this? The Bible. What's this? Right? He gave the scroll to Shaphan to read. When Shaphan reported to the king about the progress of the repairs of the temple, he also mentioned the scroll. Can you imagine this meeting? Oh, yeah, man. We're shining things up, we're cleaning it up, we're repairing the roof, we're vacuuming and polishing. Oh, and by the way, we found the Bible. We found God's holy word. One other thing, should we throw it away? Shaphan read it to the king. The king's like, well, let's hear it. Come on, let's hear it. What's it say? Somebody say, completely uninformed. Unaware, unlearned, lacking in knowledge, ignorant, but a good heart. Amen. When the king heard what was written in it, he tore his clothes in terror. It's like, that sounds nothing like this place. Amen. He commanded Hilkiah the priest and Shaphan and Asaiah, the king's assistant, and Hakiakim, I'm trying these names, Shaphan's son, Abkar, Mikshah's son, to ask the Lord. He's going to the priest now, right? See, he's a king. He's not a priest, right? He says, what shall we do? Can you guys please get together and find out what this means? And he's genuine about it. Not, can you guys get together and find out how we can cover this up? Right? No. What shall we do? For we have not been following the instructions of this book, he says. He must be very angry with us, talking about God. For neither we nor our ancestors have followed your commands. Find out what this means, because boy, we sure aren't living like this. Don't you love it? And then the first couple verses of chapter 23. When the king sent for the elders and the other leaders of Judah and Jerusalem to go to the temple with him, he calls everybody, hey, meet me at the temple. Let's go to church, right? So all the priests and prophets and the people, small and great, of Jerusalem and Judah gathered there at the temple so the king could read to them the entire book of God's laws. Don't you love it? Amen? What was he doing? Informing them. Hey, guess what, guys? Here's why things are such a mess. Because we've gotten away from God in his own house. Hallelujah. I love that, don't you? I call that King Josiah's comeback. Even if you're behind in the fight, you feel like the devil's winning the fight, it's time for a comeback. What do? Come back to Jesus. Come back to the Word, right? Deuteronomy 33:3 says this. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Glory to God forevermore. Psalm 107, verse 20, rather. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I said that was Deuteronomy 33:3. That's actually Psalm 107, verse 20. Deuteronomy 33:3 says this. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Somebody just say, Lord, I receive your words today. I receive your words today. Luke 5, Simon answered and said to him, verse 5, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, somebody say, at your word, I will let down the net. So Simon Peter didn't get caught up in, hey, listen, Jesus, I'm the fisherman. You're the carpenter. He didn't get, see, that's a problem I think a lot of the church gets into, is too familiar, right? Too familiar with what my denomination talks about Jesus or what the world says about Jesus, or he's just JC. No, no, no. He is God the Son. So if he tells me to do something and I've been toiling and worrying and striving, and he takes that and he gives you some wisdom from his word, what should I do with that? Somebody say, obey it. Right? Do what Jesus said. A lot of folks are, want to know what Mary would say. Well, Mary has one of the greatest pieces of advice in the history of the world. Whatever he tells you, do it. That's what Mary says about Jesus. Whatever he tells you, do it. Somebody say, I'll do it. Amen. Psalm 119:105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Look at John 1 really quickly here, if you have your Bible. John 1, verses 1 through 5. It says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him and without, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I love that. when it says the darkness did not comprehend it, it means the darkness cannot overcome it. Somebody say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And then verse 14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say, Jesus is the Word. We're not just talking here about ink and paper. We're talking about Jesus, knowing his voice. I've had people ask me, how do I know God's voice? How do I recognize God's voice? Somebody say, go to the Word. Study the Word. Receive Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost, and start studying the Word, hearing, preaching, and teaching. And then when he speaks to you, you will recognize his voice. That's why a lot of the world, even Christians out there, are in off on crazy tangents, because they're hearing spirits, but not the Spirit of God. And spirits can be seducing spirits. The devil, the Bible says, comes as an angel of light, but he is a liar. He knows the Bible too, and he twists it. Amen? So somebody say, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God's Word. So we can't be unaware, uninformed of God's Word if we know Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. But here's the thing I believe God would take us to today as we close, be open to, is let him take us further than wherever we are in our faith. Amen? Because I believe there's aspects of Jesus that we have yet to tap into. I believe the church globally is operating at such a lower standard to where God would expect us to be at 2,000 years later. Amen? Hallelujah. But look at this. Proverbs 4:20, we're going to look at a couple different, before we pray, a couple different translations of this. He says, my son, or my daughter, of course, give attention to my words. Somebody say, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. This is why very often I'll turn off sports or news or whatever and turn on, you know, Victory Network or a Brother Hagin message or something that's going to, or even our own services. I'll go onto our website and pull up one of our services, and just in 10 minutes, man, I feel plugged back in. What is it? You're plugging into God's Word, into God's anointing. Or open your Bible and do a study and, you know, do a little word study. Get up a little earlier. Stay up a little later. Amen? We need to be people that, when it says give attention, that means more than just Sunday morning. Amen? It means more than Easter and Christmas. It means more than 10 minutes every day. When you give attention to something, you're focused on it all the time. That's what it's going to take. Amen? Praise God. And Amplified says it this way. My son or my daughter, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Somebody say, my ears are open, Lord. Right? And I'm willing to learn. We can't come to God like we know it all. Even if we hear a message and we're like, man, I've heard that preached so many times, that ought to be a checkpoint. You know what? I haven't heard it today. Perhaps God will show, the light will come on today, and I'll receive something I need to receive, right? The Passion Translation says this, and again, we're at Proverbs 4:20. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything, somebody say everything, that I teach you, and pay attention to all, somebody say all, that I have to say. And I would say this, a lot of the church across the world has not been open to everything that Jesus is, right? They haven't paid attention to all that he has to say. Why? Because they were taught some of it was wrong or whatever. Or they just are unaware, unlearned. Somebody say, Lord, I receive everything that you teach me, right? I'm open to all. What if he told you, I want you to be rich? What if he told you, I want you to never have a day of sickness the rest of your life? What if he told you, I want you to build a church in the Portland Memorial Coliseum? Right in the middle of it all. Would you believe it? If he told you? Somebody say, Lord, I'm open to everything. Everything that you want to say, right? All that you have, I receive, Jesus. Amen? And finally, the Message version says it this way. Dear friend, listen well to my words. See, so many people would think, well, yeah, but I also need to hear this over here. I'll hear God's word, but I also need to hear the doctor's word. I need to hear the news's word. I need to hear my attorney's word. I need to hear Aunt Martha's word. I need... Jesus says, listen well to my words. Glory to God. Don't let Johnny talk you out of it. I don't care how close he is. Or if he has 17 more years and 17 more degrees. Right? No. Listen to this. Tune your ears to my voice. Hallelujah. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Can you see the passion of Jesus in this? He's like, get out of the King James, right? Dear friend, listen well to my word. Watch me, right? Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart, right? Those who discover those words, somebody say those words, really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. Don't you know, church, that's what this world needs to see. And that's what the God who loves you wants you to experience every day of your life. Amen? When we step into heaven, it ought to just be a step. It shouldn't be a heaven. Praise God for that, right? It should be a, like the kid that's crossing the finish line, winning the relay race. Ah! Hallelujah, right? Somebody say glory to God. Let's all stand up and we'll close in prayer today. Just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I receive all, everything that you would teach me. And I commit my heart and my life to be a person that pays attention to you, that gives you my attention. Amen. I receive your words. I believe your words. I confess your words. I'll stay with your words all the days of my life. And I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen.